Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are ready for the studies relative to the person of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for revelation. And we believe you that our spirits within us shall be opened, as Peter's spirit was opened when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded to him and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And we believe that you still reveal, and we ask you to reveal in our hearts great truths that will dominate our lives and cause us to bless multitudes. For your blessings we thank you. Amen. Bless you, everybody. It's so good to see you. Page 67 is where we're starting. In this particular lesson, we are studying the Holy Spirit bears fruit. We have studied many aspects of the person of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to note that the word fruit, as we're going to read it here in Galatians chapter 5, is in the singular and not plural. This does not mean that there is only one fruit, or that it is impossible to make distinctions between the attributes that are listed. The emphasis here is that the various characteristics are from an identical source and an identical substance, making one fruit, many aspects. When the scripture speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, all must be in functioning order for any individual person to have a validity. If any one of these is to have validity, they must all have expression in our lives. If one of these breaks down, then the fruit of the Spirit has broken down in that life. Love is not genuine love unless long-suffering is flowing from that love. Therefore, there are not fruits which can be picked and chosen like going to a supermarket. There is simply the fruit of the Spirit. The quality of any kind of fruit depends upon the nature of the plant producing that fruit. In James 3:12, it says, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." You cannot yield evil fruit and godly fruit at the same time. That would be impossible, the Bible says. Let us look at the fruit. That's in Galatians 5 and 22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, with a capital S, meaning the Holy Ghost. They are love. This is the fruit that flows out of him possessing you. Love and joy. When the Holy Ghost was within us, joy flows out of us. And if you don't have joy flowing out of you, that's the absence of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there are no laws. Nobody makes a law against that. You don't need any laws when it comes to that kind of fruit. Now, the evidence of the Holy Spirit himself living in someone is the manifestation of love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the evidences that the Holy Spirit himself is the master of that life. You see, a plant produces after its own kind. We know this. We're sure of it. A plant is of a certain species. It will naturally produce that certain type of fruit every time. Because we have the Spirit indwelling us, we should naturally, say naturally. Naturally. Yeah, not strained, not saying, "Oh, am I doing it? Am I doing it? Oh, I hope I'm doing it." No. Just as natural as a banana growing on a banana tree. You never heard of a banana running around saying, I came from a banana tree, I came from a banana tree. Everybody knows it by looking at it and tasting it. Just where it came from, it's identified. And when the fruit of the Spirit comes forth in our lives, we don't have to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Everybody sees you're a Christian. They see the fruit that is born in that life. And that is an evidence, that is an evidence of the working and the function and the possession of you, of the person called the Holy Spirit. Now that just means that you can have what we call the baptism of the Spirit, and yet an absence of the total fruit of the Spirit functioning in our lives. And one of the greatest needs of the church today is that not only that we be filled with the Spirit, but that we possess the fruit of the Spirit flowing out from us. We do not believe that you'd find it impossible to cultivate that fruit. Work on it, I mean. And encourage it. Take notice of it. Not that it just came up spontaneously and you gave no attention to it at all. It might never get there. This is an attainment of spiritual living that God wants us to enjoy. We can make sure that we're getting the proper nourishment when we have the fruit of the Spirit flowing through us by the power of the Holy Ghost. A plant needs good soil. The born again experiences that soil. So we need to be rooted in Christ our Savior. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love are in Christ. As a plant needs plenty of water, so we need the waters of salvation. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. For good fruit, you need a lot of watering. And the watering is in the Word of God. As a plant needs sunlight, we need to bask in the light of our Lord. Isaiah 60:19, the sun shall no more thy light, that the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God shall be thy glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's our everlasting light? As many modern horticulturists are now teaching, and I don't plant anything, I don't grow anything, so I don't know anything when it comes to growing things. But they're teaching right now that a plant may be spoken to. Now, if it starts answering you back, you've got a problem. They claim that those that are more successful plants talk to them. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you want to know how to get the fruit of the Spirit growing big and luscious in your life, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I have studied denominationalism considerable in my lifetime. I mean considerable. And I have noticed that the first thing a denomination loses is its joy. They start out with great joy. Every denomination in history started out with a bang. Great joy, tambourines, and all the rest of it. And they then lost their joy first. And I'm telling all these young ministers across America today, as I see them day by day and week by week, brethren, the seeds of death are when you lose your joy. Stay happy. I said, if you will stay happy, your building will stay full. But nobody wants to go to church to mourn. They got enough of it at home. They don't have to go there to do it. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's the way you produce the fruit of the Spirit. And if you are going to say, oh, I don't like all that noise, well, honey, you're just going to miss something mighty good and mighty wonderful. As a plant needs to be cared for by a gardener, so we need our heavenly husbandman. John 15:2, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Jesus is interested in your fruit bearing. Jesus is interested in your fruit bearing. And when he sees something coming real good, he clips the little things out of the way so it can get more sunlight and more water upon it so that it can produce greater fruit. Creating conditions. You know, if we all walked in the Spirit, lived by our spirits, you'd be amazed at what we could do in spiritual growth. I guarantee you right now there are millions of Americans that know there's a better church in town, and they wouldn't dare leave that dead church. It would offend somebody. Well, it offends God with you being there. Which is a greater, your neighbor or God? We got more sense about groceries than we got about religion. When a new grocery store opens up, you're the first man in line to get in and get those bargains. And when God opens up another spout of glory, we're the tail end to ever get in on it, and then we suspect it to be fanaticism. Okay. Point two. The character of God, the character of our Savior, the character of the one that we love and serve, his character is the basis of the fruit of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 11, it tells us of God, of the God of love and the God of peace. It says, finally, brethren, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we are partakers of his divine nature, and his divine nature flows through us, called fruit, or evidence of his being on the inside of us and living in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Then we call that Holy Spirit fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit, as it's called in the Bible. In 1 John 4 and 8, it very plainly declares that the essence of God, we're going to teach on Father God soon. We call it the Most High. And I've already taught about it, so I'm scared to. I guess we've had the lessons made for a year. It's too big, you know. Who is a little thing here going to talk about God? You say, well, I'm just the thing that was made. I didn't make anything. I'm just the product. The creator, how can the product, you know, identify with the creator? He is so great. He is so wonderful. And yet, God wants us to identify with him in the fruit that comes out of his life, for it to bear in our lives through the power of the Holy Ghost, whose dispensation we live in today, the dispensation of the person of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. So he is the God of peace. He is the God of love. 1 John 4 and 8, he that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love. The essence, the true essence of God is love. Now, God is not power. Now, some people think God is power. God is not power. God has power. But God is love. If you ever find and discover what love is, you'll know God personally. Because God is love. He has mercy, but he is not mercy. He only has mercy. But God is love. So if you ever discover the essence of love, you'll understand who God is. And there have been 1,000 definitions of what love is, and they've all come short because love is God, and you can't quite identify him. Paul, speaking of God as long-suffering in Romans 2 and 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And so he speaks of the attributes of God, the fruit flowing forth from God, and he calls it long-suffering, forbearance, and goodness, and these are his riches. These are what makes him rich. All right. In Romans 9 and 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And so he has long suffering. That's under your C there. D, gentleness. is also translated kindness when speaking of the nature of God. In Ephesians 2 and 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness or gentleness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what we're showing you, that the character of God is the basis of the fruit of the Spirit. In Titus 3 and 4, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. If you ever went to a heathen country and you just taught that, you'd get them all saved. They don't have a good God among them. Gods of wrath and gods of this and gods of that, but no gods of love. And we have the God of love. He dwells within us. And all the people said, in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek, God says. I am meek. I am lowly. And you shall find rest unto your souls. The nature of God on the inside of him has nothing to do with haughtiness. It has to do with loving and caring. Now we go into number three, which is a very long one. It's the interrelationship of the fruit of the person of the Holy Ghost. After the word fruit there, if you wish to do as I have done, you'll put of the person of the Holy Ghost. We want to really remind ourselves that we are identifying with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm wrong, God will forgive me. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to shake hands with the Holy Ghost as a person. Now, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't give these lectures. Because a person does have hands. And a person does have eyes. And a person does have a nose. You say, what would it look like? He'll look like Jesus, of course. But you will too. We'll all look like Jesus over there. There won't be any whites, blacks, reds, blues, whatever colored people there on the face of the earth. There won't be any over there. We're going to all look like Jesus. You say, well, what color will we be? We won't have any color. You say, why? We're going to be clothed like God is, and God is clothed with fire. From his loins downward is fire, from his loins up with fire. We'll be a floating flame. Whew. Talk about pretty. You girls haven't seen anything yet. Help me to keep on my subject here. The interrelationship of the fruit of the person of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see, the interrelationship of the fruit of the Spirit in this first point there, in relationship to ministry. He was talking to a preacher and he says, you're a man of God. Stay away from those things that are not right and cleave unto these things, which are the fruit of the Spirit. There are the fruit that grows in our lives. In Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's God's righteousness, it's God's peace, and it's God's joy in the Holy Ghost, you see. In Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. You know, the word just keeps telling us here that the fruit of the Spirit has a lot to do with joy and peace, and that's the thing that's running our world crazy. They don't have peace and don't have joy. Don't have peace and don't have joy. And they are both free of charge in the born-again experience. And they flow out through the branches of your life so beautifully until the whole world can see them. If you truly have joy and if you truly have peace, everybody knows it. And you don't have a disturbed inner person. You have an inner person in total tranquility. Can you say amen? Ah, it's thrilling. All right, in Romans 15, 13, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. You know, see, there again, in the Holy Ghost. You had it in Romans 14, now you got it in Romans 15, 13. Ephesians 4 and 1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where you are in your call, with lowliness, with meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love. And so we're showing you the interrelationship of the fruit of the Spirit in the way you walk every day in the Holy Ghost. Now, we live in a world that does not possess the fruit of the Spirit that we're teaching about. And the reason for it is they don't have him, the Holy Ghost, ruling in their lives. And I believe that you can be a born-again person with little or no fruit in your life. What God's going to do with you is his business. I'm glad I don't have anything to do with it. Bless God. He says in verse 3, He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Isn't that nice? Aren't you glad we're in unity tonight? You can feel it in this room, maybe 20 different denominations, and we feel perfect unity, perfect harmony. Nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody's going to be insulted. Nobody's going to be embarrassed. You see, we flow in a perfect divine unity that comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from Him. He is the one that puts it within us. I want you to bear bushels of fruit in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, bushels of it. In Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, but in all things, approving yourselves as the ministers of God, patience, affliction, necessities, distress, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I don't want to try to make the Christian pathway very difficult. I began by telling you that this fruit flows out normally out of the Christian life. You don't try to be good because you are good. You don't seek to be good because God made you good. You are the righteousness of God on the face of this earth. And the Holy Ghost is the administrator of the total work of God in this dispensation on this earth. So it's through Him that we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3 and 10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my patience. You see, here was an older statesman saying to the younger man, you know all about it, and you better realize that you do. Hebrews 6 and 12, that you may not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. They inherited the promises through the fruit of the Spirit. Through the fruit that the Holy Ghost brings through our lives, they inherited the promises of God, became the possessors of it. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of the calling and fulfill the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power within you. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. And there we went through with them. I guess we went a little too far, didn't we? We just took so many of them. We went right straight through them there. If you gave those a number like I did, I gave them the ABCs and ended up at M. And I think that meant much. Let's go to point 4 on page 70. We are known by our fruit. As important as the gifts of the Spirit are, say gifts. Paul teaches that it is not necessarily the gifts of the Spirit that prove our relationship with Jesus. You better know that. The same church, the Corinthian church, to whom Paul taught the gifts, had to be corrected for many carnal things, including adultery. And Paul said that he could not even address them as spiritual. And they had the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. The people that had the gifts of the Spirit. All right. A friend of mine encountered a young man returning from an illicit affair with a prostitute and corrected him for his conduct. His response was, I can still speak in tongues. If the gifts are not backed up by a holy life producing the fruit of the Spirit, they are void, they're empty, and they're nothing. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit as far as you're getting to heaven is concerned. God wants you to have both. But He don't want you to think because you have a gift of the Spirit that you've got something above love and peace and joy. You simply don't. All right. Matthew 7:11-16 says, you shall know them by their fruit. Jesus said it. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And so a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Everyone that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Now, I think God is saying something to us here. That if we don't perform the fruit of the Spirit, then we're going to be cut down and cast away. It's mandatory that we have the fruit of the Spirit in all of our lives. Can you say amen? All right, let's look at these 9 fruit just for a moment here, please. First, there's perfection there. 3 is God's perfect number, and we have 9 of these, and so we have perfection. perfection times perfection. 9, 3 times 3. Now, you'll have to write this down. Put it on the bottom of your page 71 there. And I just have 2 minutes to do this in. I want to show you the triunity of the fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, and peace is the fruit of the Spirit that relates itself to the Almighty, to God. You love Him, you have joy in His presence, and you have peace in His presence. Your long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness is your relationship toward mankind. You should be long-suffering to them, gentle toward them, good toward them. And the faith, the meekness, and the temperance is your relationship back into your own self. To have faith, to have meekness, and to have temperance. And so you have 9 fruit that become one, with 3 of them going up to God with great adoration to Him. Love, joy, and peace, which He is. And you share back with Him. And to the fellow man out to both sides of you, you say, I have long suffering, I have gentleness, and I have goodness toward you. And then on the inside of you, you say, I have faith, I have meekness, I have temperance, I have control of myself on the inside. I'm not running riot. I have full control of my total person in the power of the Holy Ghost. How many want the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, the fruit of the person of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And very possibly that when we teach on these things, it helps us to cut off the little bits and cause the fruit to increase and to be better. We thank you, Father, for these that are really going after the things of God, the great and beautiful things of God, and especially in seeking a greater knowledge of the person of the Holy Ghost. And we pray right now that you will bless them and bring them into that knowledge.